Let's take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We're considering the events of the 13th of Nisan, and we saw how they began with what's called the Last Supper, a very eventful time, and then proceeded that Monday evening to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus Christ's incredible prayer with his Father. And then the arrest of Jesus Monday night, where the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, led a cohort of Roman soldiers to arrest and bind Jesus. And how Jesus then, early Tuesday morning, appeared before a gathering of the religious leaders in the Sanhedrin. It's what could be called his night trial, because this is where they did pronounce a death sentence on Jesus Christ. And during that time period is where Peter denied Jesus Christ repeatedly, six times. We're going to pick up the record with daybreak on what we would call Tuesday morning, but this is the continuance of the 13th of Nisan. In Luke chapter 22, it says in verse 66, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council. This is the second trial of Jesus before the Sanhedrin. This is at daybreak. And it says in verse 67, they asked him, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe." You know, I just love Jesus Christ's answers. They're just so direct. They're so honest. Very confrontational to their unbelief, but loving, just the truth. Said, "If I tell you, you're not going to believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Jesus Christ knew where his destination was after his sufferings, after his resurrection. He would ascend into heaven and sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." You know, this is a encapsulation of this morning trial, this day trial of Jesus Christ. So they have concluded him to be guilty. But then it says in verse 1, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate." Pilate was the Roman governor at this time, so they led him away to Pilate. And there they began to accuse him. Keep your finger here and look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. It says in verse 28, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, if he weren't an evil doer, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto Pilate, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. This is not according, of course, to the law of Moses, but they're speaking according to Roman law. It's not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. If the Jews were to put Jesus Christ to death, the manner of execution would have been what? It would have been stoning. But we know that the manner of death that Jesus Christ died was not the Judean or the form of execution of Israel, the law of Moses, stoning, but he was crucified, which is the Roman manner of putting him to death. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Let's go back to Luke chapter 23. Here is a further description of the accusations that they brought before Pilate. They began to accuse him in verse 2, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Now, what a lie. Did Jesus Christ forbid giving tribute or tax money to Caesar? No, he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, give unto God that which is God. It is declared in the Bible to be a king, the king of the Jews, but certainly not in, like he's going to revolt against Caesar. I mean, this is what's implied. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, You said it. Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce. Look at that. They were the more fierce saying, He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he heard that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. So Pilate's trying to get rid of this very huge challenge of how to judge Jesus Christ. Pilate, sensed that the accusations were false. So he's trying to rid himself of this and transfer it over to Herod. Herod is the one that Jesus Christ had declared earlier to be a fox. This is the son of Herod the Great, the one who had tried to put the young children to death at the time of the birth of Jesus, when Jesus and Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem. But this son of Herod was a fox, according to Jesus Christ. He's the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. So now Jesus Christ is going to Herod. And in verse 8, it says, And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he, Jesus, answered him, what? Nothing. There's a prophecy of Jesus Christ back in Isaiah, written hundreds of years previous, that as a lamb dumb before his shears. Jesus Christ answered him, how much? Nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to who? Pilate. So Jesus Christ, this is Tuesday morning. He first appears before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin pronounce him guilty of death, and they take him to Pilate. Pilate tries to pawn him off, so to speak, by giving him to Herod. Herod mocks him, puts a robe on him, and then returns him back to Pilate. This is all occurring Tuesday morning. And Pilate, in verse 12 it says, in the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends. Before that, they were at enmity between themselves. Kind of strange bedfellows, wouldn't you say? That this somehow would bring them together to become friends. The false accusation, the judgment of Jesus Christ, which is going to result in his being murdered. So they send him back to Pilate. We'll pick up the record. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 11, it says, and Jesus stood before the governor. This is his return to stand before Pilate. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, you said it, thou sayest it. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. This caused Pilate to marvel greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont, he was known to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And then they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate could have released Jesus Christ. This was a known custom that he would grant clemency at the time of the feast. So he asked the people. In verse 18 it says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate knew that there was no crime that Jesus Christ had committed. He knew that what motivated the religious leaders of Jesus to, the religious leaders of Judah to accuse Jesus was envy. Verse 19, when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Wow. Pilate's wife is very troubled. She suffered many things because she's had a dream concerning Jesus Christ. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, the people said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Part of the incredible conspiracy against Jesus Christ is that the religious leaders of Israel, the Sanhedrin, these chief priests and the others that had brought these charges against Jesus, they wanted the Romans to do their dirty work. They could have, according to their custom, according to the law of Moses, they could have done it by stoning Jesus, but they didn't want that. They wanted the Romans to carry out, so they said, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man, just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Man, what an incredibly devilish pronouncement to make. His blood be on us and our children. You know, it was the rejection of the Messiah that resulted in the ultimate destruction, the complete leveling of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ had prophesied about that not too many days before. But here the people are taking full responsibility for his death and crucifixion. His blood be on us and on our children. Verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, we know that the timing of this, look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Says in verse 13, it says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and put him in the judgment seat in the place which is called pavement, in the Hebrew Gabbatha, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. So the Gospel of John, according to verse 14, sets the timing of this about the sixth hour. This is on the day of preparation. This is the day before his crucifixion, and this is about the sixth hour. In other words, this is about noon. This, of course, couldn't be the day of his crucifixion, because on the day of his crucifixion, noon, he's hanging on the cross. But this is when, the day before, on our Tuesday, Jesus Christ is delivered over to the Roman soldiers. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 27. So it says, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, now these are the Roman soldiers, so Pilate has delivered Jesus Christ over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band, or the whole cohort. Remember, a 1/10 of a legion of Roman soldiers, anywhere from 400 to 600, the whole cohort of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. So the robe that Herod had put upon him, they took off. And they put on him a scarlet robe. This is after Jesus Christ has been scourged, after he's been beaten. You know, imagine if you're beaten and bloody and you're wearing clothing, then they strip that off of you. What's it going to do? It's going to rip any scabs that have formed and cause it to bleed again. And so now they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. So what are the Roman soldiers doing? They're torturing Jesus Christ. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. Now, every crown that you've ever seen depicted in artist works has been like a tiny little crown of small thorns. I remember years ago when a group of Bible students went to the Bible Lands to look at some of these sites and some of the different things associated with the Bible. They came back with an example of thorns that were rather large. I mean, some of the thorns the size of a man's hand. You know, this crown of thorns was put on Jesus Christ to torture him and to mock him as like a, you know, pseudo crown. And they took and they beat that crown of thorns into his skull. And it says, and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Verse 31. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Now this is, verse 31, of course, is talking about leading him away to crucify him, which will take place the next day. But what occurs from the time of his second appearance before Pilate, which Gospel of John said was about noon on Tuesday, Jesus Christ is in the charge of this cohort of Roman soldiers that basically take Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, all the way up till Wednesday morning and torture him. They just, you know, they put a crown of thorns upon his head and beat it into his skull. They whip him, they tortured him, they mocked him, they spit on him. These are the sufferings of Christ. This is Jesus Christ paying the price for our redemption. This is what Jesus Christ had prayed. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He knew the torture that awaited him. He could read about it in the Old Testament. It said that he was beaten beyond semblance, beyond human recognition. But this is the torture that he was enduring. This is the stripes that were put upon his back, where he's paying the price for our healing. This is Jesus Christ paying the price for all of mankind's sins. You know, most every picture that you've ever seen of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ has him hanging on a cross with a little trickle of blood coming down on his forehead from a small crown of thorns, a little trickle of blood coming from his wrists or from his ankles, from the nails of the cross. Oh my gosh, if they ever had painted an accurate picture of what Jesus Christ looked like when he was hanging on Calvary's tree, it'd be so hideous that nobody could look at it. They beat him beyond human recognition. They so tortured him more than any man could ever endure. But this is Jesus Christ's great love for us in paying the price for our redemption. And so this that we've read takes us up to sunset on Tuesday, and in our next session, we will begin with the events of the 14th of Nisan.